Blog Talk Radio.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and we're going to be talking with Chef Silva Sanat from the restaurant Boudiccan here in Philadelphia. We just ended a really hot show with author Michelle Alexander, the author of The New Jim Crow. Please pick up a copy of her book. You can get a copy from the New Press. The New Jim Crow, or you can try to win a copy. If you email me what WEB stands for in WEB Du Bois's name, you can win a copy of her book. Email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com to win a copy of that book. Again, that's SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. The address is also on my Blog Talk Radio homepage. Also, you can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys. And you can become a fan on Facebook, so please check out all those avenues to stay in contact with the show and find out what new and upcoming guests we have. But right now, I believe I have Chef Silva Sanat on the line. I'm going to pick up the call here. All right, we're going to try to call out to him and see if he's there. But one of the reasons I wanted to have him on, I read an article about him in the Inquirer, is that he was helped by a program called CCAP Culinary Competition. CCAP is a nonprofit that works with high schools nationwide to train urban teens in the culinary arts. And as you know, listeners of my show, I love things that are helping teens better their lives around the nation. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to have him on. Obviously, the program has been successful for him. He's worked at a variety of places around the country. Let me try to see if this is him now. He's 30. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. How are you?
Hi, Silva. This is Joy. We're on the air.
Perfect. I was on hold. I could hear your whole show. Beautiful.
Oh, okay. Good, good. I couldn't hear you, unfortunately, but I'm glad we caught you. Thank you so much for joining the show this morning.
No problem. I'm actually sitting in the middle of my kitchen right now.
Isn't that the beauty of technology? I love it. I mean, this is great. You could be in your pajamas and we can have a show, or you could be in Dubai. I've done shows with people in Dubai. I've done shows with people from Ethiopia, from Germany, all over. So it's just a wonderful medium. But let me just tell the audience a little bit more about you. You've trained with Angelo D'Amico when you were at the Sign of the Dove. You've also worked with Marcus Samuelson. You became a sous chef at Aquavit. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, that is correct. Aquavit.
Yes, and then also you work with Jean-Georges. I don't even want to try to say his last name, but you were a chef at 66 Leonard Street and also the Mercer Kitchen. And now you're at Boudiccan in Philadelphia.
Yes, I am. I am the chef de cuisine at Boudiccan Philadelphia. Jean-Georges' last name is Van Gerichten.
Okay.
He's Albanian. It's one of those half French, half German names.
Yes, yes. Well, what got you into cooking? What helped? What decided? Was it somebody in your family or somebody you saw? What made you decide to become a chef?
Well, you know, basically, I took it as a requirement to graduate high school while I was going to John Dewey out in Brooklyn. But what really got me interested in it, it was we were getting older and, you know, college was coming up and I really didn't want to go into, I wasn't a big junk food kid when I was growing up, actually. So I actually like a little more healthier food. So I wanted to cook my own food, you know, in the hope of when I get to college and I can cook my own food instead of eating junk food, which is what was a proclaimed, you know, frat boy lifestyle.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, you're a guy. I mean, what do you mean you want to grow up and be able to cook your own food? Isn't the woman supposed to take care of you and, you know, cook your meals and bring it to you in bed when you have your slippers on?
I mean, I think that's later on, but, you know, in high school, you know, I was the tall, skinny guy. So, you know, me and the lady
okay.
were on the same page, so.
Well, I think your wife, you're married now, yes? You have a child, yes?
Yes, I am. I have
so
a
I think
beautiful.
I think I, yeah, I think you're past that. You're in the safe zone right now.
You know, so cooking now, is a confidence booster, by the way.
It's a confidence booster. So now how did you get involved with, or how did you connect with CCAP? Tell us about the CCAP program.
Well, actually, CCAP is the founder, Richard Grossman, which is a great gentleman who started this back in 98. It was in its infancy when I first joined the program. And we met through high school as part of a competition, which is the same competition he still holds today. And basically, it takes high school seniors in hope that wants to go towards a culinary degree or a restaurant, in the restaurant field. And you start with a competition or a preliminary competition, and then you do the competition, which involves a lot of scholarships.
Now, one of the things I was reading, though, that they were going to be getting rid of some of the programs in certain areas.
The thing is, he's actually become a little more global. Before, it was only in the beginning, it was only in New York. And as it grows, it became in Miami, New York, Philadelphia, Chicago. And one of the key reasons for the article was that the Philadelphia school system did not want to participate in the program anymore.
That's why I wanted to have you on the show, because I think that's crazy. I mean, everything is being cut. I mean, I'm a big proponent of arts in the school. When I saw your article, cooking, whatever means can grasp in the mind of a child to help push them or propel them or be a catalyst for them to be successful in their lives, why do we want to cut this program? And you're an example of a success story here. It's from the outside, you know, you seem to be doing very well, and that was something, this program helped you. Let me tell the website for CCAP. The website for CCAP is CCAPINC.org. Again, that's CCAPINC.org. And on their website, they have links to different cities around the country, Arizona, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, Washington. And you can click on the city, and they'll show up other links for applications. You can find out about the different student resources, also teacher resources that they have available, the different careers that they have suggestions for and how to get involved. So please check out their website, CCAPINC.org. Also, we don't want to forget that Silva is here on behalf of Star Restaurants. He, again, is working at Budokan currently. And I'm going to be giving away a dinner for two to Budokan. Now, what you need to tell me is, drum roll, is what does yum cha mean? Okay, yum cha, Y-U-M. C-H-A-I. Again, what does yum cha mean? It's related to some Asian food situation. So look up yum cha and email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. That's Y-U-M-C-H-A-I. What does that mean? What does that involve? And you could be a winner of a dinner for two at Budokan here in Philadelphia. So now how did you get the job at Budokan?
Actually, I started working with Budokan while I was still in New York, and right before I went to Puerto Rico, we opened a small restaurant called Coco at the El San Juan. So I was familiar with Steven Starr. Actually, this Budokan in Philadelphia, is the first and original Budokan. And so it was a privilege to come and work with Steven at his flagship restaurant.
So now, do you see yourself opening your own restaurant one day?
Somewhere in the near future would be great.
Yes, definitely, right? Does your wife cook? You know, I have to ask you the question. Does your wife cook for you sometimes? Don't you get tired of cooking for everyone else?
I know. Actually, my wife does cook. In the beginning, before the child, we did a lot of dining out and a lot of restaurants. And now that we have a brand new daughter, and we're basically cooking a lot more at home, more purees, organic beans for her, and blending it. So my wife is cooking a bit more, and we're going out a bit less.
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort to raise a child, and not just the financial, but just the time and energy. So, yes, I'm glad to hear that both of you are cooking together. I think that's actually very romantic for couples to cook together. For the guys who listen to my show, you might not have thought about that, but actually, you know, cooking together can be a very romantic, courtly gesture, if you say, for a woman. As a woman, I think that's a wonderful thing to do, to eat what something you created together. It's also, in a sense, just to see how you work together as a couple can be a little, like, test. Is this the person for me? Let's cook together. So now, what's one of your favorite dishes that you cook, Silva? What's one of your favorite dishes?
I cook at home or here in the kitchen?
At home. What's your favorite dish at home when you don't have the pressure of, you know, the restaurant?
Actually, just last night, my wife makes this Japanese curry, and she loves it. And it's basically potatoes with skirt steak, a little carrot, and then a Japanese curry broth that she reduced down and add a little soy to it. But she always kicks me out of the kitchen because I always try to cut her vegetables perfectly. So that's one little pet peeve. You know, I tend to grab six different bowls when plating, and you know, doing the dishes is a feat.
Oh my god. So now, what did you learn from the CCAP program? What is one of the things you took away? What's the most important thing you took away from that program?
You know, in the very beginning, I would say responsibility, and you know, a lot of confidence, because they gave me the tools to make me feel somewhat prepared when walking into a 3-star restaurant at 18 years old. And as intimidating as it was, you know, I had the tools, and I had the tools to actually be in that kitchen and think to myself, I deserve to be in this kitchen, and I can learn on the same level as everybody else.
Well, I think that's a wonderful thing, because confidence in any area of life, whether it's cooking or driving or talking, communicating, whatever it is, being a parent, confidence is a really important issue. And I think that people don't have confidence. And when you're a young kid, like you said, you were young, you know, tall, lanky kid, you weren't really in with the girls yet. So this was a good out. And also, one thing that people may not realize is that children have different learning styles. Some people are visual, some people are physical, some people are audio. So taking this program out of the high schools here in Philadelphia, I think, is a loss for the program, for the community, and that we here in Philadelphia and across the nation need to push for more programs such as CCAP to give children confidence and also something positive to do, and instead of, you know, thinking that they can't do something because they're not learning the way that the schools are really focused now on tests, you know, a lot of tests and rote things, and some people just aren't good at that, you know. Let me read something from the CCAP website. It just talks about eligibility requirements. The applicant must currently be attending a CCAP partner public high school or after-school program. Senior applicants must have taken one culinary course at the high school or after-school program. If you're a junior, you must be enrolled in a culinary course. Also, you must have passed the GED test or in the progress of getting your diploma. So there's lots of rules, but not too many, and you need to check out their website. CCAPINC.org is CCAP's website. If you know a young person who's interested in cooking, whether male or female, it doesn't matter. Please get them hooked up with this program or something similar in your area. Now, for the people who are interested, again, in trying to win a dinner for two to Budokan, you need to email me, what does YUMCHA stand for? That's YUMCHAI. What does that stand for? You can email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Now, you were talking about annoying your wife in the kitchen with cooking. Why is it that, you know, you go to the restaurant or you look at these TV shows with you wonderful chefs, and you give us the instructions, but it never seems to turn out the way you do it? I mean, what is it? I mean, why is that? Is that because of the cookware you have? What are some unique tips and tricks you can tell us users out here?
I would say it's chef pig Latin, because usually when writing recipes, you know, a chef usually uses all these wording that, like roasting and sautéing and searing, that the general cooking public understands And when it comes to home cook, it's all gibberish. But I think a lot of it is just a little more knowledge, and it basically back to basics, you know, because a lot of the chefs, like all home cooks, a lot of the chefs, you know, did not cook at one point. It's just we got more and more comfortable as students progress. And instead of writing a whole 3-page recipe, it became 4 short sentences.
Yeah, that would be very helpful. Now, one of the things I didn't mention is that you're from Haiti. How long have you been here in the U.S.?
Actually, I came here when I was 6 and a half, so a very long time ago. I just turned 33 in April 14th.
Oh, congratulations. Now, what I want to talk to you about Haiti. How do you feel about that situation, and how do you think that you're cooking, maybe is this a program you can take there in terms of helping people, get out of certain desperate situations so that they can learn these skills that you did? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think maybe a little further on, you know, with more talk with Richard about the program and with a little more development when the time comes with Haiti, that would be a great idea and opportunity if I had the chance to do it. Actually, just the other day, my sister and I were just looking at CNN, and we were looking at the food storage situation they had, and the holding of the vehicles and the emergency vehicles, and just all Doctors Without Borders waiting for their equipment for 15, 20 days while it's sitting there, and we were just having an uproar about exactly what is going on down there.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, people need help. People are suffering. People need resources. People need care. Food and medical is just like basic. And, you know, the blockades and the congestion. I mean, I'm not there on the ground. I don't know exactly but I feel the same way you do. I don't understand. Why can't we just give the people the food? Why can't we just get them equipment?
It was a lot of frustration, actually, just to see that segment. When Sanjay Gupta actually went into an orphanage and they had no food. And then 3 phone calls later, they came up with a truck, and then they showed you the warehouse, 20 foot of sacks of rice, and, you know, and there's actual food on the island, but no one has any food.
That's ridiculous. I mean, we have helicopters. I mean, we have all kinds of aerial equipment that you can drop down in a split second, you know, for war usage, for fighting, quote-unquote, you know, our terrorism issues. But you're telling me we can't, as a people, I mean, this is not just the United States. I mean, there's a variety of countries all over trying to help Haiti in the situation. I don't understand. Why can't you get a helicopter, drop the food down, something? I mean, I know it might be a scramble, but at least people will have something in very remote areas that are not close to the border or the waters, you know, the water area. It's just ridiculous. But again, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. What's one of your favorite chefs that you've worked with or that you maybe haven't worked with but hope to work with in the future?
Actually, I would have to say Marcus is my favorite chef that I've worked with. And I would love to work with him in the near future again, actually. But
okay, Marcus, if you're listening, Silva wants to work with you again, so please give him a call.
No, he has my cell phone.
Okay, good. Okay.
Marcus, we have very high standards of each other, so he knows exactly what I want. But but you know, I think of myself as a learning chef. So I always see the opportunity that comes along. I always leave that door open and always think, in this career especially, you always learn, and every day is a learning process. So the minute you stop learning is the minute the career is over.
Yes. So what's your favorite dish to make at Budokan? If we come to Budokan, what should we try to eat first?
Actually, we are going through a menu change right now, so everything will be great. You will have a couple more dishes and a couple more different flavors. We are actually playing with flavors of Vietnam and a little bit more Japanese and Vietnamese cuisine when it comes to Budokan. So there's a lot there's a lot to try. One of my favorites is actually the Peking chicken, which is a traditional Peking duck recipe, but instead we use this Canadian air-chilled chicken, and it comes with steamed eggplant with a light soy and crispy garlic on top.
Is my mouth watering? And is anybody else's mouth watering? Oh, my God, why did you just say all that? I haven't eaten lunch yet. I might have to come down to Budokan and eat some lunch. But seriously, if you're listening to the show this morning, I'm talking to Chef Silva Sanat from Budokan, part of the Star Restaurants. And if you want to try to win a dinner for two to the Budokan here in Philadelphia, you need to email me. What does Yum Cha stand for? Y-U-M-C-H-A-I. You can email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com, and you could win a dinner for two to Budokan here in Philadelphia. Also, if you're interested in becoming a chef or you know of a young person who's interested in the culinary arts, please check out the CCAP program. Their website is CCAPINC. Again, that's CCAPINC.org. I will post those on my website. I want to thank you so much for coming on this morning, Silva. I wish you much success, and I hope to see you down at Budokan.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Saturday.
Okay, thank you again. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. I just want to thank again Budokan, Star Restaurants, and CCAP. Please check out their website, CCAP, which is ccap.inc.org. Again, ccapinc.org if you're interested in learning more about the culinary arts, or you know a young person who is in a public high school or after-school program, they can receive scholarships to help them out. That's something that helps Silva Sanat. Also, check out Budokan. The website is Buddakan. Again, Buddakan, Budokan, the restaurant here in Philadelphia. That's where Chef Silva Sanat is. If you're interested in winning a dinner, again, for two, to Budokan here in Philadelphia, email me. What does Yum Cha stand for? Y-U-M-C-H-A-I. It's related to food, so just check it out. Look it up on the web. I'm sure you'll be able to find something. Let me know what it means. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys. Again, Twitter.com/JoyKeys to find out the latest contest, the next guest I'll be having. Also, you can become a fan, or you can, as they say, like me on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Next week, I'm going to be talking to the other Westmore. Yes, there is, or actually there are more than two Westmores in the world, and a gentleman wrote a book about himself and another Westmore and the two strikingly different experiences. Unfortunately, one ended up in jail, and the other one became a Rhodes Scholar. So tune in next Saturday, Saturday, July 31st at 11 a.m. Eastern to find out about the other Westmore. Also, I'm going to be talking at 11:30 on July 31st to African-American paleontologist and geologist David Wilcox. Yes, an African-American paleontologist and geologist, David Wilcox. That's July 31st. 11:30. So thank you so much for listening today. If you didn't hear earlier, I spoke to author Michelle Alexander about the new Jim Crow, and in her book she discusses the mass incarceration of African-American men, and that is our new Jim Crow, unfortunately, and what is going on with that legally, socially, politically. And just recently I spoke to Chef Silva Sanat, chef at Budokan here in Philadelphia. So please check out my Twitter.com/JoyKeys to find out about the contest. You can win a book, The New Jim Crow, or you could be a winner of a dinner for two to Budokan here in Philadelphia. Thank you so much for listening today. I wish you a wonderful Saturday and a beautiful upcoming week. Don't forget to mark the show as a favorite. That's great. You can also leave comments for me here on Blog Talk Radio. I thank you so much for your support. And again, tune in on Saturday, July 31st. I will be having my next show talking with the other Westmore and also paleontologist, geologist David Wilcox. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Saturday.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.